Okay. All right. We are planning on finishing this lesson this morning. Actually, we'll finish this whole series of lessons. This is the last in this series. We're going to attempt to finish up this one this morning. And the follow-up to this is going to be we're going to spend a little bit of time just looking at and talking about some various tools that we have available for being able to do some outreach and Bible studies and things of that nature. So we'll look at some of those in our Bible study next week. For those of you who haven't been with us, just to kind of, so you're not just kind of totally lost out there as to what we're talking about, we've been looking at this study on outreach, on evangelism, and being able to share the Word of God with others. And throughout this study, one of the foundational things that we have really begun with is the idea of being able to begin sharing the gospel in our Jerusalem. And we go all the way back to Jesus talking to his disciples just before he went back to heaven. And he told them to wait in Jerusalem until they received the gift that the Father had promised. And he said, you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and Judea and Samaria and to the very ends of the earth. And so we start out with this whole effort is focusing on, just like the disciples were told to do, to start out in Jerusalem. Well, you know, obviously we're not in physical Jerusalem, but we have what we refer to as our Jerusalem, and that is our the people that are in our life. It's our family members, our friends, our coworkers, our neighbors. It's people that we know in our lives that we interact with. And that's our Jerusalem, and that's where we start. Being able to share the gospel with people that are lost, that we already know. And so a lot of what we have been studying and focusing on is from that perspective in the ideas of being able to share the gospel with people in our Jerusalem. And in this last lesson in this series, we're really looking at some very practical, very specific things that we can do to accomplish that goal of being able to teach people and share the gospel with people in our Jerusalem. We started out with this lesson just by way of real quick review, talking about caring and the importance of us caring just like Jesus cared to be able to have compassion on those who are lost. Jesus, looking at the people as he went about and looks at the people and sees them as sheep without a shepherd. He had compassion on them. We talked about the whole idea of what it means to be lost and how concerned we really are for those who are lost, and the important fact that we have got to really look at and understand what it means for someone to be lost. Okay, Jesus had that compassion on because he understood what it meant to be lost. When somebody was lost, then you know there's no hope. Okay, so Jesus' compassion was to save his creation. Okay, so we've got to look at that in terms of having that kind of compassion. Another aspect that we looked at was Paul. And the amount of compassion that he had for his brethren. Anybody recall what we focused on with that part of it? Okay. And what was it that Paul said concerning the Israelites and himself? Yeah, if it were possible, he'd give up his own salvation in order for them to be saved. And we think about that kind of compassion, that kind of care for those who are lost, okay? Those kinds of things should cause us to take a good look and see, okay, how much care, how much compassion do I really have for those who are lost? Do I really, you know, is it something that's a priority in my life that I want to help to save those who are lost? Then we talked about the aspect of prayer in our work at saving those who are lost. And in looking at prayer, and of course prayer has been a big part of what we have been about for the last 2 years here, and as we specifically are talking about praying in terms of evangelism and outreach, there are a couple of things we talked about last week in this aspect of prayer. What do we need to be praying for in terms of the lost? Mentioned last week, we talked about two things, being open. Open doors and open hearts, okay? That God would open doors for us, doors of opportunity, to be able to teach people, and that He would open people's hearts so that they would be receptive to the message. So those are some specific things in terms of being able to pray when it comes to evangelistic efforts. And then we're talking about the way that we live. How important is it for us to focus on how we are living our lives? Okay? We talked about the fact that Jesus says that His disciples are salt and light, right? And what is salt used for? Seasoning and preservative, okay? We need to be able to be salt so that we can preserve people's lives, okay, in that sense, and also that we can season their lives with hope and peace and joy in Christ Jesus. Okay. Now, in order for us to be that salt, okay, and to be the light which provides what? Why is the light so important? What does it provide?
Truth.
What?
Truth.
But doesn't it provide the way for people to be able to find that truth? In other words, it lights the way, the path, you see. So He wants us to be that light. Now, what do we have to do in order to be the salt and the light? Remember, Jesus said, if the salt loses its saltiness, it's not good for anything except what? To be thrown out in the path, to be trampled by men. So, concerning the salt, what do we need to do? Okay, we got to be living it, right? We got to practice what we're preaching. We've got to be making sure that our lives are in accordance with God's Word. Same way with the light, right? You don't light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, you do what? You put it up on the stand where it gives light to everyone in the house. If our light is not shining, then people aren't going to be able to see their way through the darkness that the world is encompassed in. And so we talked about the importance of us making sure that the way that we are living is indeed the kind of example that will cause people to want to seek after Jesus in their lives. We talked about a couple of examples of folks who, have been turned away from Christianity because of the behavior of those who profess to be Christians, and they look at that and go, they're not doing anything different than what I'm doing, so, what does Christianity have to offer me? And so if we're not careful about how we're living our lives and other people looking at us, how are we going to actually shine light in someone's life if what we're offering them is the same darkness that they're encompassed in? So we've got to make sure that we are living our life the way that God wants to live. Does that mean that we've got to be perfect? I hope not, because that can't happen anyway. It's not going to happen. We're not going to be perfect. That's not the point. The point is that we are striving to be more like Jesus every day in our life, to be what He wants us to be. Recognizing, and we talked about the importance of recognizing when we do mess up, that we fess up, that we make it right. We go to God, we repent, and we make it right, and we continue on. But that our effort in our life has got to be to live our life according to God's will. So, the last part on here, part number four, what can I do? This part is to talk. Okay? For the lost to be saved, the time must come for the gospel message to be communicated to people. Okay? Mark chapter 16, verse 15. What is Jesus instructing his disciples to do there? What is he telling them? Yeah. Go out into all the world and do what? Preach the gospel. Okay? What does that involve? Okay, opening your mouth involves talking to people, right? You see, there's an important aspect of this that we've got to make sure that we get hold of. And oftentimes people, I think we use this sometimes as, an easy way out of having to actually talk to people about Jesus and about His Word and to study with people. We say, well, I'm teaching people by my example. Okay? Well, are we supposed to be teaching people by our example?
Yes.
Absolutely. That's what we just talked about, right? It's important as to how we're living. But is that the only way we're supposed to be teaching people? You say? No. Okay. We've got to open our mouth and we've got to start telling people about the Lord and what He's done. We're going to talk specifically about how to do that in a minute. Turn over to Mark chapter 15, beginning in verse 19. Jesus heals, or basically casts out the demons, which were many in this man. And He tells him to do something. After the demon's been cast out, He tells the man to do something. What is it that He tells him to do? Somebody got that? Did I say 15? It's Mark 5. Just don't listen to me. Read your notes here. Follow along in the passages in there. I keep doing that all the time. My eyes don't adjust as much as what they used to. Mark 5, 19 and 20. Chuck, you're laughing at me back there. Read that for us. See, I can see that far. I can see that you were laughing at me.
Mark chapter 5, verse 20.
Yeah.
So the man went away and began to tell.
We read about verse 19. What did He tell him to do? How difficult is that? See? I've mentioned this to you before. We're talking about sharing the gospel with other people, about telling other people about Jesus. And we've talked about some of the difficulties and some of the things that tend to get in our way of doing that, which are those excuses that we use, like, I don't know the Bible well enough, and then I tell you, okay, whose fault is that? Okay? And what if they ask me a question that I don't know the answer to? Those kinds of things that we use as excuses for not talking to people about the Lord and sharing His Word and so forth. My response to that last question is, if we're telling people about what Jesus has done for us in our lives, how are they going to ask you a question you don't know the answer to? Okay? All right? That's called witnessing. And yes, as we've talked about before, that's a bad word in the churches of Christ. Okay? Because we don't do that in the church. Well, we should be. All right? Isn't that what God has told us to do? All right? And the easiest way to talk to people about the Lord is tell them your story. What has He done for you? What difference has the Lord made in your life? When you first became a Christian, how did that happen? What caused you to make that decision? What was going on in your life at that time? You see? And why did you decide to become a Christian? And since becoming a Christian, What's happened in your life? Right? You have a story to tell. And it's your story. Okay? It's not something you have to memorize and read out of a book because it happened to you. Okay? And that's one of the best ways to be able to introduce people to the Lord. And isn't that what Jesus told this man to do? Go home to your friends and tell them what the Lord has done for you. Colonel?
There may be some people like me where...
I don't think there's anybody like you.
Yeah,
just,
like me. Your conversion story is very exciting and sensational. Mm-hmm. When I became a Christian, I was 13. I don't know what it was that he said, but everything just clicked. And I realized, hey, I need to do something. I want to be a Christian. That may not be so compelling, but if you feel like your conversion story is not going to be a good witness, you can relate some part of your experience as a Christian.
Right.
To what someone is going. If you don't feel like that's going to hook them or whatever, just tell them, when I experienced that because I have my faith, God teaches me, I'm glad I have Christian brothers and sisters. There's a way to weave it into the conversation.
Sure.
Without worrying about saying just the right thing and having things memorized.
Well, and that's what it's about, is sharing, again, witnessing, sharing your story. It's not just your conversion when you became, but it's what has God done in your life. Now, okay, here's, watch your toes. Okay, watch your toes. Some people say, well, I don't really have a whole lot to tell. Okay, what's that saying? Is that because God hasn't been wanting to do anything in your life? Or is it maybe because you haven't been allowing Him to do things in your life? You see, we're talking about a relationship here, and relationships, are a two-way thing here, right? And so... in other words, I've known a lot of Christians over the years. In 30 years of ministry, I've known a lot of Christians who have experienced their first year of Christianity, for 30 or 40 years. In other words, they just come to church every Sunday, they do their thing at church, and they go on about their business, and they've kind of separated their lives into the religion and the secular, and what they do religious-wise is on Sunday morning, and the rest of their life is... what they do. And you know what? They don't have a whole lot to tell about what God has done in their life because He hasn't done a whole lot in their lives because they haven't allowed Him to. They? Yes, ma'am.
I noticed the first week that you stay around your
room. That's all right. We don't like quiet people around here. We want people to talk. Exactly. Good point. Right. Absolutely. Good point. It's not all about the big bang and flash and all that kind of stuff, is it? But we've got to be able to tell people what is God doing in their life. In other words, if God's not making a lot of difference in our life, then what do we got to tell people? See? And then we really need to start asking ourselves, why is God not making a difference in my life? See? And again, it's certainly not because He doesn't want to. And there's two people in that relationship. Okay? And so if we believe and we know that he wants to, okay, then who's left out of the two? You see? Okay, I told you, watch your toes. We gotta look at these things. We've gotta really stop and consider, okay, what's going on here? All right. I had a couple of hands up over here. Jerry and then Brian. Okay.
I felt like for whatever reason, I wasn't called to be baptized in the baptism or the hot tub in the church is what I call it.
Right.
So on the church camp out, we were at the lake, and that Sunday was the day that I was baptized in the church.
Yeah.
A year later, 13-year-old, 15-year-old church was this one. He said, this day I was baptized in the same church we were last year. And that made my salvation
okay.
Tell its own story
yeah.
About me having even shared it with the church.
Okay. Okay. Brian?
Yeah. Two comments. You're talking about that relationship with God. I've heard comments before about I'm not as close to God as I used to be. When you have a conversation, my comments to them is what I was told.
Who moved? Yeah. Yeah. Who moved?
God. And God didn't move away from you. You moved away from God.
Yeah, exactly.
We were talking about earlier as being that example. And when you testimony, backs up that example because when I'm at work, we've had two fire stations that combine together, so I got a lot of white shirts in my station. A lot of y'all know the work environment that I'm in. But one of them came up to me a couple weeks ago and asked me, why do you always smile? Well, I mean, you're at work in the situation, why do you always have a smile on my face? I said, because it doesn't come from here. It comes from my relationship with God.
Absolutely.
Yeah,
absolutely. And those are the kinds of things that make a difference. When people look at our lives and especially with people, again, our Jerusalem, these are people that we know and people that know us. And generally they know what's going on in our lives. And when they see us handling those things, you know, good or bad, you know, like you do with a smile, you know, I think about, you know, Wes and James on their job, you know, and the hassles that they would get from people, and yet, you know, where is it that those folks are going to when they have Bible questions or when things are going on in their lives, when they need some prayer or whatever, where do they go? They go to these guys and say, hey, I know you go to church and everything, would you pray about this for me, you know, and what have you. You see, people notice those things they and it stands out, and that's the way that it should be. We need to be living it, see, as we said, so that people can see it. But then as we're praying, remember what were we going to be praying for? Doors of opportunity to be opened. Those people come to us and they ask us, why are you smiling all the time? There's a door that just got opened. Then what do we need to open next? Our mouth. And we need to start sharing with them why, you see. That's how God can make these things work. And just to tell about it, okay? I'm going to let ladies go first, Steve, okay?
A lot of things about me, but you know that.
I know.
But the greatest thing that helped me is that I couldn't be murdered.
I know. And that's a great story. It really is. You know, Jean, you know, she'll tell you, you know, about harboring so much anger and hatred in her heart that she wanted to kill this person. Yeah. And but the Lord worked the forgiveness in her heart that she was able to forgive. And you know, I'm not going to tell her story to everybody. I'll let her do that. You want to know? It's an amazing story. But it's a great example, and that's what we're talking about. You see, because how many people out there, Ms. Jean, do you think, you know, are harboring those similar kinds of feelings towards someone that has done something, you know, to them in their lives, you see, or to you know, wreck their lives or whatever, and refusing to forgive. People need to hear those kind of stories, you see, and how forgiving someone, even in those kinds of circumstances, you know, frees you and so forth, and that's made all the difference in your life. People need to hear that. That's what we're talking about, you see. And again, How's anybody going to ask you a question about that you don't know the answer to? See, they're not. You see? But it's a powerful, powerful story. Steve?
What we've talked about here, some particularly, the idea that, you know, the feeling that your conversion story doesn't have a lot of flash or fireworks, and that's actually more problematic than we would like to admit for those of us that grew up going to church, you know, and became Christians, you know, fairly young, like Colonel. You know, we hear these stories from, you know, people, you know, in their 20s, and they're like, wow, you know, this guy was rescued from all this horrible sin. And the immature mind, you know, says, well, gee, you know, I've been going to church, you know, who am I? You know, God. And a lot of it has to do, I think, with your own spiritual maturity and realizing how much sustaining God does. As a youngster, you kind of miss that. You know, you don't. And once you get a little bit older, and you look at people you interact with, and you know, and things, and you say, "Wow, you know, there's a lot of bad stuff that could have happened to me at these various points in my life, and I can see that God kept that." You know, and sometimes at the time it gets in the way. You know, maybe you want a particular job in a particular place, and you beat your head against the wall to get it, and it never happens, and you go away with a bad taste in your mouth. Then you find out later, well, you know, that company went bankrupt 2 years later. And I would have been without a job.
Yeah.
So, yeah, God actually, by keeping me away from that, you know, he's worked, you know, wondrous things for me and my family.
Absolutely.
It's somewhat subtle. And I think that's something that our younger Christians, and I'm talking about the younger adults, you know, that we kind of overlook that. I mean, I know I struggled with it a lot, having a father who was an elder. You know, it's like, you know, who is this little insignificant Steve Brown guy?
Well, and I think that the maturity part is actually being able to look at those events in our life and be able to realize that was God working in my life, and that's why that happened, because God was making it. But there's another aspect of that whole, you know, those who raised up in the church, you know, and so forth. And one of the things that I have mentioned, you know, many different times, and I try to encourage parents, you know, especially as I, you know, talk to parents and do seminars on parenting and all that stuff, I always try to encourage parents. And one of my goals in raising our children was I wanted them to know the Lord, but I wanted them to have their own faith. And I think that Kyle will testify to, you know, that yes, we taught them about the Lord, and we taught them, we raised them in the church, and you know, in our home growing up, if you were in our home, you went to church every time that we had church, you know. I mean, you know, he's a preacher's kid and an elder's kid, right? Doesn't have a chance. But here's the thing. When you, even though that's your, you know, your background and that's what you were raised in, if you come to the point where you have taken that faith that you have been raised in and you have made it your own, see, that's the significant thing there. And that's one of the things that I think a lot of people have missed that have been raised up in this church, is that they've never really taken ownership of their faith. They're still living their parents' faith or their grandparents' faith, you see. And so that's why it's not real to them as much, you see, because it's not really theirs. It's just, you know, and that's especially true, I think, amongst the children of preachers and elders and generations. You know, my granddaddy was a preacher and my daddy was a preacher, and you know, and we got a lot of preachers out there that shouldn't be, and they're preachers because, you know, their granddaddy was, and they never really, you know, grasped and took ownership even of their faith. But when you reach that point where it becomes yours, and that's what as parents we need to be raising our children to do. I don't want my children to have my faith. I want them to have their own faith, you see. And that's something that, indeed, you can testify to. Why did you make it your own? Which is a whole lot different than that's what I was raised in, you see. Because as I was growing up and I learned and I studied and I saw these different things, you know, yeah. Right. So that's an important aspect of that. Chuck?
How many, y'all have been in the church a long time, how many people have you seen come to the Lord with just a big conversion? I mean, big conversion, it's not that it's your faith,
Absolutely.
Your next breath.
Yeah. And exactly. And that's why I said earlier, and the important key to it all is, it's all about the relationship between you and the Lord. You see? Without that relationship, all you have is religion. And religion by itself won't sustain anyone. You see? It's got to be the relationship, right? But you have a story to tell to other people how God worked you through those things.
Yeah.
You know, as I've told people before, you know, in our our situation, I've had people in churches treat me worse than people that I did when I was a policeman working out on the street. You know, I wasn't treated as badly, you know, by some. But you know, people are people. Okay. But yet those are the things that can serve to draw us closer to God, or they can pull us away if we don't really focus on that relationship with God. They can either destroy us or they can make us stronger. Okay? But again, I know it sounds like a broken record, but it's all about the relationship.
And
that's
us. See? It's really up to us.
Absolutely.
To control our lives and our
relationships. Absolutely. Absolutely. So, you know, these are the kind of things that, you know, we can be talking to people about, you know, opening our mouth and sharing with other people, you see. And what has God done? And it's not, you know, it's not about all the good things that God has done and how wonderful my life has been. You know, I read through the Bible and I read about, you know, I read about David. You know, and David, you know, David was a man after God's own heart, right? How can that be when he committed adultery and then murdered to hide it and to cover it up? Was David a human being? He was fallible, right? You know, I read about people like David. I read about Peter and the way Peter was always getting himself in trouble with the Lord, you know, running off at the mouth, you know, here, Lord, I'm going to go do this. You know, you read about these characters, and as I read about, you know, Abraham, you know, lying to the Pharaoh. What's that all about? This is Father Abraham. And he lied. Yeah. Well, you know, as I read about all of those people and those stories throughout the scriptures that show me the ups and the downs of people even of great faith, okay, that tells me, okay, all right, look, I don't have to be perfect, all right? You know, that's what grace is all about, right? You see? And God, you know, worked with those people through the ups, and He worked with them through the downs. The reason we have those Bible stories to read today is because they tell about God working in people's lives through the good, through the bad, and through the ugly. You see? And we need to be able to share those things with people today. Not just these stories, but don't be afraid to share the good, the bad, and the ugly of our lives is how God has helped us and worked us through those things. Because you know what? That's life. And I promise you, and I've been a counselor for, you know what, about 15, 16 years now on a professional level. I've never met anybody yet, individual or couple, who doesn't have problems, who doesn't have up and downs, you see, who doesn't have some good, bad, and ugly in their lives. You know why that's true? Because we're people. Okay? We're people. And we all have it. Anybody that says they don't is a liar, okay? All right? We all have it. Nobody is immune from it. And the stronger you are in Christ, the harder Satan is going to be working to try to pull you down. You see? So let's stop trying to hide all of that stuff, and let's be able to tell people. It's not a matter of going out and airing out all of our dirty laundry. That's not what I'm talking about. But I'm talking about being able to be real with people who are sometimes experiencing the very same things that you've experienced in your life. See? And what they need is the same hope you needed when you were going through those kinds of things. And if you're the one to be able to offer them that hope through Christ, what kind of difference are you going to be able to make in their life? See, that's what we're talking about. That's what we're talking about. You look on the back page of this thing, we're just about out of time. I told you we're going to finish this, and we're going to finish it. Okay? All right. Question there at the top of the page. We go back to the very beginning when Jesus began this ministry and he's choosing his disciples and so forth. Question is, what did Andrew and Philip do when they found the Messiah? Philip, the first thing he did was what? Anybody recall? He went and told his brother Peter, "We found the Messiah." Okay. That's what Andrew did. First thing he did, the Bible said, he went and told his brother Peter. What about Philip? What did he do? Do what? Andrew went and told his brother Peter. Did I get that mixed up? Okay, I'm sorry. Andrew went and told his brother Peter. Philip went and told Nathanael. And what was Nathanael's response? Yeah. Can he say good come out of Galilee? You see? But here's the point. When they found the Messiah, what did they do? They went and told somebody. And who was it that they told? Somebody in their Jerusalem. You see? Somebody in their Jerusalem. So here's a question. Can I invite and bring my relatives and friends into an environment where they can learn the gospel? Think about, make a list that has on here some of the learning opportunities which are available in this congregation. Real quickly, what do we have going on here? Me. We got Bible classes, right? We've got our worship time. We have Vacation Bible School coming up. We have Sunday Night for the Master. We've got Open Forum, okay? We've got five elders here who are willing and able. All you have to do is make the appointment to come to your house or somebody's house, anybody's house, someone in your Jerusalem, and conduct a Bible study. You know, we've got at least two different Bible studies that are going on during the week. We've got a men's Bible study on Wednesday morning. We've got a ladies' Bible study going on Mondays. You know, lots of opportunities like that for us to invite people and to have people come and have opportunity to study the Bible. We need to be using those opportunities a whole lot more. The text in 2 Corinthians 2, verses 14 through 17, talks about the Lord leading us in triumphal procession and through us spreads the fragrance of the knowledge of the truth. How is that fragrance going to be spread? Through us. Okay, that's the task that the Lord has given to us. Okay, we're out of time. We will, as I mentioned to you earlier, next Sunday, we're going to look at a couple of different materials that we have, things that you're able to use are available to us. This is kind of a reminder. We've done this before. We're going to do it again. just a reminder to you of what we have available, some study guides and things like that to help out. So that's what we're going to do. Thank you all very much.